resulting in the construction of a small unit map of comparatively enormous.
It's not ready yet. No, not yet.
Okay, I mean, I know that you're...
I mean, he can hear it.
Okay,
now.
Go. Yeah.
Now he's good.
All right. Go. Well, thank you, Adam. Welcome to the Horror Play Podcast. I'm your host.
Theme song's over. Go.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Adam.
As he
okay.
cues you in.
Yeah.
Ready? And three.
Two.
Sound speeds.
And I don't even know what that means.
Let me just check the levels, and yeah. We're good.
Welcome to Horror Play, the podcast dedicated to find the scariest game on Earth. I'm your host, John Losloff. Joining me, as always, are my co-host, Adam, who's so helpful. Pre-show. Everybody just kind of staring at him now.
Did you didn't say
no,
you didn't have an adjective for that?
No, he didn't.
That's fine.
This is the first time you didn't
It's
even
not
try.
The first time.
Yeah. Apparently, we found John's limit, 52.
52? 52 adjectives.
Yeah. Well, 51, technically, and he could do no more.
No, that was the limit. You my thesaurus out? Is only 3 pages long.
Damn. Why don't you just stop at 50?
I'm surprised it was that many, since you have to have the big print.
Yeah. That's true.
The big print.
Yep.
Robert, say hi to everyone.
What's up?
And Amber Simpson.
Hello.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Adam, what game are we talking about this week?
This week, we are talking about Siren, or as it was known everywhere else besides America, Forbidden Siren. This is a survival horror, a stealth survival horror game developed by Sony Japan, along with Project Siren, which I believe is just kind of an in-house studio for Sony Japan. It was released for PlayStation 2 in 2003 in Japan and 2004 everywhere else. Kind of an interesting game. Instead of following one character, there's 10 I believe.
Ten characters.
Different characters.
Yep.
The story does not play out in a linear fashion. The game takes place across 3 days. Mm-hmm. Each day has, it's 24 hours total in it, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
At least that's what they
There's also a really interesting game mechanic. You can kind of sight-jack
that's what it's
your
called.
Enemies.
Sight-jacking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sight-jacking. Which is what,
sight-jack.
John?
Yep.
It's basically you just kind of see through the eyes of the nearby enemies, monsters, even allies.
Which the enemies are basically just... kind of not the undead, but
they're just
like possessed people.
Possessed people. They can still shoot you.
I think they are dead.
Are they dead?
But
they're not like zombies.
Yeah, they're not
like
they mentioned them being in hell at some point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
See, they have weapons, and some of them have guns.
Sure. Some of them fight back.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a very interesting game mechanic because it kind of turns the game into this really kind of complex cat and mouse type of game. Because a lot of levels, you have to get from point A to point B, but there's a handful of enemies in the way. And so you have to use a sight jack. And the game it feels kind of like a puzzle game, a trial and error puzzle
game.
Yeah,
we were talking about this. It mm-hmm. seems more like a puzzle game because it's you kind of, it's almost reminds me of almost like a Fire Emblem. It's not like a turn-based kind of thing, but it's you're looking at the enemies, you have to follow kind of where they're going. They have a certain path that they usually take or a certain way that they're facing. You get shot once or twice, you're dead. So you can't, when there's an enemy with a gun, you have to try to avoid them the best you can. So you have to kind of go, you have to sight jack them, see which way he's facing. Sometimes mm-hmm. he'll turn the other way. You sight jack other people. You can
sight jack yourself, right? You go into some weird other view. What is
seeing?
That?
Yeah.
Confused.
I'm gonna sight jack myself, which means I'm just gonna look.
I just want to say sight jack sounds like a really cheesy '90s action movie.
It does.
Sylvester Stallone plays a cop who's been blinded by acid.
now he can sight jack people. Well, it's just a weird mechanic that
it's a really cool,
it's definitely
mechanic.
Different. Yeah,
yeah. I'm actually that's like one of my
not
favorite
anything I've
aspects.
Ever seen before.
Hey, I see what you did there, Amber. Ew.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I like that aspect to it because it does provide something new that we haven't seen in a horror game, like seeing through the enemy or the enemy's eyes. But but because it's like a puzzle game, it's kind of weird. I don't know. Plus the fact that you're playing 10 different characters and it's jumping back and forth. Like John mentioned, you're trying to get from point A to point B, and sometimes you have to get a key to unlock a door to like start a train to get to the other spot.
Right.
And it's like there's puzzle mechanics to it to get to the other side. But then there are some levels where you really just have to get to the other side of the town.
Right. And you just have to make it.
You just have to
and
make it.
And you can literally
somehow.
Just run past most of the enemies.
Yeah, a lot of times you can run past them. Every once in a while they'll put like a gun guy who kind of blocks you, and if you get shot twice, you're dead. But we even avoided that sometimes by just running right up to him and smacking him a bunch of times until he died. So it's like a weird, like if there's a speed run, that would be how you do it.
I think, because like there was, I think one of the levels, like we had to make our way like through the forest and like through like this old house. But like, you know, Robert, like he was just being really stubborn. Like he was like, because you would go around the corner down this hallway, but there was this guy there with a gun and like, you know, he would shoot you right away, but Robert was just so convinced, like, no, I can take this guy out.
You're like, I'm not going to try and figure out how to distract him.
Yeah, I don't want to solve this puzzle in this whole level.
So, like, 20 minutes later, like, he actually does, like, knock the guy out, and then, like, he goes past him.
You just hit him with your fist?
Well, yeah.
It was, like, it was like some type of club.
No,
something.
We had, like, a weapon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it was, like, yeah, you just had to hit him. But the thing is, when you hit him, he kind of gets back up and then he's about to shoot you again. You have to hit him real fast.
There's like a delay in like the his like weapon drawing animation, so you can hit him.
It took me like 15 times and he kept shooting me.
Probably
like the
took you
second
longer to kill him that way.
Did
than
you
to figure out the puzzle?
Well, the thing is, like,
we didn't know how to solve the puzzle.
We thought like that's what you had to do because like we looked up afterwards like how to get through the level, and apparently you're supposed to backtrack all the way to like the beginning of the level. To like
siphon gas.
Oh,
from the
right!
Car.
You siphon the gas from the car.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then like, you light the thing on fire, yeah. And then he gets distracted. And
yeah, but we didn't know that. I didn't even know they could get distracted. So,
just about to say, did you try anything to distract him?
Yeah, like the first time you walk up to the car, I think you take something out of the trunk or something.
Yeah, I took something.
But then
out of
it
the car.
Tells you there's gas, and at first you're just like, why does it even tell you that? So you're supposed to think of that,
or
when you get to,
or like, why not just shout and make him come after you?
Well, it was weird.
And then run away around the corner.
Honestly, after we found out, I was like, wow, Robert, I'm really glad she just kind of powered through that.
It was just pretty cool because like, I would just run right up to him, and before he had a chance to pull the trigger, I would try to hit him, and then he would try to reset himself, and I'd try to hit him again. And I just kept doing that, and I kept dying, but finally got through it, and then right when I walked out the door, it was like level complete. Yeah. I was like, awesome.
Luckily, they didn't have bayonets.
That's true. They are. This is like some like weird
feudal
kind of,
Japan.
Yeah, like town.
You know what I love about this game? It's one of the few things I like.
Yeah.
But it's just like after every level, it's like mission complete, or is it mission accomplished?
Yeah.
Do you think this was George Bush Jr.'s favorite game?
Yeah. Well, that's why I think that it's more of a puzzle game, because every level is really just like that level.
Right. You get
and
like,
then you move on to another character. And sometimes you get another character who has to go through that same level later
on. Or the
on.
Same character, and you go through the same level, but it's longer that time.
Did anybody ever
or,
figure out that
different
weird
objectives?
Yeah,
kinda,
different objectives. That's what it was.
Anybody figure out that weird Excel spreadsheet that would pop up every now and then in between levels? Like, what
I
was that?
I showed the days.
I think it shows you how the story connected, because I think maybe if you do
that's a great storytelling method.
Yeah, no, it's dumb.
Spreadsheet.
I hated it so
like,
much.
Yeah, it didn't make sense at all, but that was my best guess for it, was because like when you would do something, it would link like you went from this character at this time to this,
to
character,
this character
at this time.
Same, yeah.
But you couldn't scroll through it. It would just show you real quick.
Yeah, no,
and
it made
switch.
No sense.
But it's just annoying because like, I would have liked to see the whole thing so I could be like, where am I? Like,
yeah,
what day is it? What character am I playing?
Everything
now?
Was too fast.
Well, I love like also this is how like convoluted the story is. There'd be you'd play as like one character, like we played as the priest. Then we play as like these other two characters. Then we come back and we're the priest again, but now he has a girl with him. And we're just like, where did she come from? Like, what dude, like, what's going
one
on?
One of my favorite, the priests, like, the girl came up to him, and he was like, oh, so-and-so? Mm. And she was like, no, I'm so-and-so's twin sister, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, sister? Like, he didn't understand that concept.
Dude, the voice actors are so bad.
Well,
so bad.
And I love some of the levels, because they do give you other objectives when you have to play the level again. And this is kind of what kind of stalled me and John when we had to replay levels that we just played.
I was like,
it made no sense.
Robert,
mission accomplished, and we had to do it again.
Did you reload the same save file? What's going on?
I think what was happening was when you did a different character, you did something in that level,
that
affected whatever you played, so you had to go back and do that secondary part.
Right, there's like always another objective.
Yeah, but they still made you do the first stuff.
Right.
Like, you still had to go through the exact same thing, mm-hmm. but then you had to do another thing.
I love the objectives that were just like, get to this road, because all you had to do was just get to that road. Yeah. And I remember I think it was only like the second level when we were trying to still figure it out, and John like opened the map and saw the whole map, and you're trying to go like every way. You're trying to like avoid all these guys and stuff like that. So then, or no, we didn't even know the map. You were going around the whole level. Finally, we found out that we could see a map, and we found out the road was right to the left. So he just like went straight to the left, and it was like, mission accomplished. We're like, what? We didn't even fight anyone. We didn't see anyone. That's all we had to do.
See, there was probably other stuff laying around that could
that
have
could
affected
have
another
story
character.
And
probably
gave you more story.
You guys messed up. You probably killed someone.
Probably
because you didn't
killed
freeze
that little
a towel.
Girl.
But I do like that. I like the idea of going through different levels as different characters, or like having that affect somebody else. Kind of like Resident Evil 2, where you pick up the backpack and then you play again as Claire, and the backpack's not there. Like that kind of stuff.
I think more games should do that. Give you the option where not to be like a World 1-1 in Mario. You can either go right or you can go left and be like,
and
fuck it. I'm done.
Yeah.
Hey, fuck
I don't
the princess.
Do this level.
Fuck the princess. I'm done.
Game over.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Far Cry, what was that? Far Cry 4 did that. Where like he tells you to stay in the room, and most people like leave the room and escape and everything like that.
But if you wait there like the whole 15 minutes.
If you wait 15 minutes, like he says, then you beat the game.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's like the thing in Far Cry 4. So like he's like, wait here 15 minutes, I'll be right back. And like most people try to escape the house and stuff, and then that's when you go into the open world and do all the other missions. But like if you stay there for 15 minutes, he just comes back, you spread your mom's ashes or whatever, and the game's over. It's so weird.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go home and open the copy I bought like 4 years ago.
Try it.
Just like, well, I beat the game.
Yeah. Done.
Man, I waited this long to play this. Why?
Can you imagine like people like speed running through that game, like trying to do it the whole time, and then they just realize that, oh, just 15 minutes. I could have just waited and beat the game.
Can you imagine people trying to speed run just that 15 minutes?
That's true. That'd
seeing who can get the faster time.
Yeah. 14:59.
Who can put the disc in fastest?
Who can skip the cutscene at the end and the credits?
Yeah.
Oh, anyways.
All right. So what was everyone's scariest moment of the game?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Realizing that we had to play the level over and over again.
Yeah. I don't know. There weren't too many. It was creepy?
Yeah, it's creepy. It's not really like in your face scary.
Yeah.
And I think all of us sitting here talking about how this is much more of a puzzle game, kind of this reinforces that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's more a stealth puzzle game set in a horror element.
Right.
Which
is unique.
Yeah, because like even the combat wasn't really that tough and stuff when you did get in it. Yeah.
I mean, you get a gun at some point. Yeah. You get, like, other weapons. But a lot of times you're trying to just avoid the enemies.
Yeah.
Right, but when you had a weapon, it was generally easy to kill them. Usually two shots
but they
two
get
hits.
Back up after a while. Yeah. Like, if you wait too long, they eventually rise back up.
Yeah. I loved it when you had, like, that sniper rifle.
Oh, yeah.
That was the best. Because
it's one-shot kill.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, my scariest moment is more of, like, there was that one level, I think it was the car level, where we're in the woods and kind of getting followed by certain creatures. Like, you wouldn't always hear them either. Like, they wouldn't make a noise all the time, and, like, they would just be, like, running behind you. And I just remember there was a couple times in the woods, like, going down the wrong path or, like, running into, like, that creature and then turning around trying to run away, and it would, like, follow you the whole way. And you had to, like, kind of just, like, hide behind something and hope it went the other way.
Yeah, that's seriously the only scary parts. The creepiest thing to me, though, was what is it called? The vision jack?
What's sight jack.
The sight jack. The noises that went on in the sight jack was really creepy. Like, just listening to that scared me. Like, made me scared. But until I started seeing the enemies,
but sometimes
I wasn't scared anymore. Yeah. But it was just the weirdest. Sometimes it was, ridiculous noises. Like, what?
Yeah.
But sometimes it was, like, really creepy, scary, the heavy breathing and just, like, that noise.
For me, it was definitely the Excel spreadsheet. Yeah. It was just, every time it popped up,
terrifying.
I'm just like, oh, my God, I have to get through it. I just don't want to look at this.
Yeah. Wait.
I think.
Sorry, go on.
It's a carryover from real life.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know.
Spreadsheets.
I suck at Excel. So
now whenever you see it, you're just going to think of Siren and sight jacking.
I thought I was just playing a game. I didn't know how to do it.
Are you hoping they bring that feature back for the sequels?
I'm hoping they just make Microsoft Word. 2017 edition sound.
Yeah.
So I realized what mine was. Opening a submenu to perform actions instead of just having a button to push.
Yeah. Yep. The control, we're going to get to that, but that's...
That's a lot of games we've played, actually.
That's true. I do want to say that this... Siren was a game that was suggested by a listener a long time ago, but I think he was talking about the PS3 version, because there's a newer Siren... I want to say it's Siren 3, but I don't know what Siren 2 was, so maybe it's Siren 2.
The first two came
Blood
out...
Curse.
No, Blood Curse is...
3.
3.
So I think the one that came out for PS3 is supposed to be pretty scary.
Just talk because I can't.
Yeah, you look it up.
And
I think that's the one he was mentioning, because I did see that, but I didn't see a Siren 2 on the PlayStation Store. Just this one, which is considered a classic now.
Are they just as a exhilarating.
I don't know. I heard Siren 3 is actually pretty scary, but I don't know if it's the same type of puzzle solving, spreadsheet, sight jacking kind of game. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
You're not allowed to use like the Excel shortcuts.
Nope. You got to fill it all out.
Oh, no.
Well, the sequel, the Siren 2, is called Forbidden Siren 2.
But was it only a Japanese release, or did it come out in America too?
No, I'm pretty sure it came out in America as well.
I just didn't see. I mean, maybe it's just not on the PlayStation Store.
Oh, no, you know what? That one did not come out in America. It came out in Japan,
Can
Australia,
we skip that one,
and Europe.
Mm-hmm. Well, then we'll just go right to Siren 3.
Because I'm kind of interested in
not
3, because I feel like this was a little, like, it was kind of ahead of its time, but not in a good way. Like, if it was something that was more released now, and, like, the mechanics were a little bit better, it might have been a way better game.
Which is why I think the listener suggested it to us, because he said it was pretty scary.
Right.
And, like, this one just seems like it just wasn't.
The opposite of scary.
So either he's going off of nostalgia and how he used to play and it was scary, kind of how, like, a lot of people think the original Resident Evil was scary back in its day, and it was, but it doesn't really hold up.
Right.
Or he was talking about Siren 3 Blood Curse, because I think he did mention PS3.
Well, sure. Listener.
So
hit
hopefully,
us up.
Yeah.
Let us know.
I mean, I'll ask him. He messaged us. I can find out. But I think eventually we'll try Siren 3 Blood Curse for the PS3. I have seen it on Amazon for sale, like, for pretty cheap. You can try that out.
So I'm going to guess the Link Navigator is that spreadsheet. So good news for you, John. It is replaced in 3. Yes. So it's gone.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's still the same kind of gameplay. It's third person.
I can live with that.
The sight jack is there, but kind of tweaked.
Instead, you have to create a PowerPoint.
It operates.
Well, I can do it.
All right, I don't want to do. I'd rather have a spreadsheet. I understand those better.
Well, I'll tell you what. Sure. Let's take a break. Adam will work on a spreadsheet. I will come over with a PowerPoint, and Adam and I will just get together.
Why don't we collaborate on a PowerPoint teaching you how to spreadsheet?
Oh.
All right, just send me an email, and we'll...
Will you guys Excel at it?
I'll add it to your calendar.
All right. We'll see you guys in a little bit.
When I say pod, you say...
Pie.
Wait a minute.
Whoa, what's
Robert,
going on, Kyle?
Take your headphones off real quick.
Okay, sorry.
John, what the hell is this?
Oh, I don't know. Robert invited me over. And
yeah,
I don't know.
This is kind of awkward. Are we doing like a promo or something?
I don't know. I wish he'd put on his pants, though.
Yeah, he's like dancing around. He's talking about Shark Dropper.
I think he's looking for the baby oil.
Anyways, Robert, what are we doing? Huh? What are we doing?
What was that?
What are we doing?
I can put my headphones back on?
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing a promo for Shark Dropper.
Oh, okay.
That podcast we do that has improv, and we just talk about our daily lives
and
stuff.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I still wish you'd find your pants.
Where can I find it?
Oh, wait. Are we supposed to wear sharktimer.com.
Short shot time.
Welcome back to Horror Play. The Excel spreadsheet was all sorts of fucked up.
Mm. Yeah. I was wondering if you were going to
put it in the trash.
But John made a PowerPoint to explain how fucked up the Excel spreadsheet was.
See, the thing is, like, I also fucked up the PowerPoint.
Right.
So I thought, like, well, if I fucked up the PowerPoint, maybe I can just work in Excel now.
What's the other one that comes with the group? Word, PowerPoint, Excel. Isn't there a fourth one?
Outlook.
Outlook. That's what it is. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I knew there was a fourth one.
Does it really count, though?
I guess not.
Does anybody use that besides businesses?
No. But I never used anything but Microsoft Word. Outlook just seems like super complicated. Well, no, I use PowerPoint.
Right?
It's just super complicated for no reason. Right?
What is Outlook?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever tried to use it, but I'm just like...
That's what I use for work, so it's easy for me.
Really?
Yeah. I should get used to it.
I mean, it's not too bad, like, once it's set up, but trying to set it up on your own, fuck that.
It's scary.
That's the worst.
Like, so you would give it, like a 3, gameplay-wise, for Outlook?
Maybe 2.5.
But what would you give it on scariness?
Oh, yeah.
I'd probably give it a straight 5 because my only experience with Outlook is work emails.
So scary. higher than Siren.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. not to spoil anything. I mean, we're gonna get to this.
Hashtag spoilers. Just edit Hashtag this before that conversation.
Siren spoilers.
No, yes.
Don't edit it. Keep it in.
I will.
All right.
No, I'm advocating for it staying in.
Oh, okay.
Just in the proper spot so people know that there's spoilers before instead of after.
Always have to put spoiler before.
Yeah.
But we don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because it's more fun to spoil things and then tell someone you just did that.
Yep. Rosebud. Sled.
Oh, you know what I hate? What? When people say, like, well, I'm not going to spoil it for you.
And then
but
they
there
say
is a plot
anything.
Twist.
Yeah, I know. It's like, thanks.
Well, no. The fact that you told me there's a plot twist just spoiled it for me. So,
because now you're looking for it.
They'll be like, wait till the twist ending. I'm like, oh, cool.
like at the end of Breaking Bad when you find out it was really just Hal waking up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and he was just having a bad dream.
It was just Bob Newhart waking up.
Lois was there to comfort him.
Oh man, I love that twist.
Yeah,
Don't Stop Believing starts playing at the end, and the screen just goes black. Yeah.
Do you know they actually did Bryan Cranston and the lady that played Lois and Malcolm in the Middle? They actually
did that
ending
for
like
Kimmel
a special
or something,
right?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah. Okay, Robert.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the part of the podcast.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Rating time.
Oh, no.
I beat you to it.
Okay. That's where I was going when I yelled out spoilers, but I was like, no, wait, this is John's thing, so I'm just going to stop in the middle of my word.
Yeah.
But then you did it. Well, now I'm mad I didn't do it.
I know.
Next
I took
week.
Over. Next week, I'll cut off John.
Just get on with it already.
Sorry. All right. If you listened to Horror Play before, you know we have a rating system. We're trying to find the scariest game of all time, but we also review these games in different categories as well to get a total overall score.
Spoiler alert. You're about to find out what they all are.
Yep. Right now.
Spoiler alert.
There's 4 categories.
Okay.
Immersion, story, gameplay, and scariness.
No idea there are 4 categories.
Spoiler alert.
We rate them on a number scale from 0 to 10, 10 being the highest. Obviously, it's a higher number. And we're just going to get right into it.
Do you really have to explain that part?
Yeah, I do. I always want to throw that in there.
Okay. Well, I mean, 10 is like higher than 0. So.
What if some people don't know?
That's true.
Spoiler alert.
We have listeners.
The higher number.
Well, we have listeners in other countries, and maybe they have a different.
Maybe they count backwards.
System. Yeah.
No. Guess what?
I think numbers still work the same.
I'm pretty sure you just lost all those listeners in other countries since math is the universal language.
That's true. I thought it was Mandarin.
Well, no.
No.
What? No. Oh, my God.
All right.
Okay. Anyways, let's get to immersion. Immersion encompasses atmosphere, music, sound effects, creativity, and graphics. Were we immersed in this game? Out of a 10, I gave it a 5. John gave it a 6. Amber gave it a 6. Adam gave it a 6.5.
I was so immersed. I'll just throw myself
it's,
under
it's
the bus.
It's weird that you're like the highest one that never
that is happens. True. That's
you're
true.
Usually like I thought like two.
No, honestly,
because I gave it a five.
I'm gonna steal your paper so I can break down the individual categories here. So I mean, most of it, like the music, it wasn't great. It was there. It wasn't necessary. It wasn't memorable. And in fact, some parts there was no music at all.
Are you sure you still want to give it a 6.5?
Yes, yes, yes.
You're talking yourself
yes,
out.
Yes, yes. Because this is like graphically for the time 2004 when it came out, they're pretty solid for PS2.
Right.
Except for the facial. I hate the faces.
That was weird, but I did read faces. Yes, they used real people's faces on there.
It looked
like,
weird.
Instead of just polygons.
They look like kind of deformed looking. It's just like
I guess that's creepy if you think about it. They tried something new, I guess. The atmosphere was creepy, or the atmosphere was good, rather. The sound effects, whatever. It had that same annoying thing that all survival horror games have that really the footsteps. I hate them so much in any survival horror game. It's always just the same
sound.
Like there's no variation and it's always just the same. It's like I'm running on snow. Why does it sound like metal right now?
Yeah. Even when we edit the fictional podcast, I always have to look up different things because I don't want them running in snow and it sounds like they're on concrete. Like, just walking through. It's just like the weirdest thing.
Maybe they're wearing like steel-toed boots.
Yeah. Like everybody's in high heels, like just running around.
Or dance shoes. Yeah, that's an easy explanation. Everyone's ready for dancing.
I really gave it my score because of the creativity. Like Amber stole my great speech earlier about this game having some great ideas, but being ahead of its time. Where some of the stuff I don't think they could quite execute the way they wanted to because of the limitations of the hardware at the time. But I really liked the unlinear storytelling and the butterfly effecting that was happening. Not the movie, because that was garbage.
That was different.
But I liked what they tried to do a lot.
I like the ideas behind the game. I think that's why I kind of do want to play Siren 3 for the PS3, because I think because of the graphics, and I think because they had a chance to do it two other times, they might have improved on the gameplay. Plus, I think the graphics would be a lot better. I think it'd be a lot creepier. I think that it might actually be a good game.
Like, when you sightjack people, it didn't look like you were in a security camera where it would cut to static every time you changed.
No sense.
And plus, like, the characters move like they were a security camera. They would just kind of pan left and pan right. I'm like, okay.
Well, that was all, like, stealth games back then. Look at Metal Gear.
Yeah.
I mean, I gave it a 5, just kind of middle of the road. I like the creativity to it, but the music, nothing else really stood out for me.
You hated the immersion, Robert.
The immersion. I did.
Yeah. Apparently.
I have the lowest. Right down the middle, though. Right down the middle. Mm-hmm. The creativity is what, like, kind of kept me like not going below a 5. I think everything else,
the creativity was this game. That's what
I think that's what was like the saving rating. Grace of this game.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have anything to say?
I liked the sound, the sound effects, like I already said, in the
when you sight jacked.
When you sight jacked, that made me kind of raise my score a little bit higher because I really enjoyed that aspect of it. That's really the only thing that made it scary.
Right.
I was immersed in it, but not in, like in a horror game way, kind of like in a puzzle game way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you're
like, I have to head this way, but this guy's facing this way.
You know, when you're like in a
zone.
Immersed
in searching and.
Yeah, you're just like, you're like in puzzle solving mode.
Out the puzzle.
I was immersed in that way, but I wasn't scared for my life. So I'm just like.
I can't wait till we review Tetris for horror play. When that block, that long block comes and you don't need it.
Have you seen like speedruns of people doing Tetris? Like,
it's
so
like
ridiculous.
Towards the end, like the blocks going so fast, like they can't even like show up on screen properly. And they're just like, they're literally playing blind.
Yeah, they just kind of disappear as they're falling.
They're literally playing blind. And they're still clearing out like rows and rows of Tetris. I'm just like, Holy crap.
I do want to just point out, like, I know you were just explaining that, and when you said that, I wanted to say that's insane, but also intense, and it came out, that's incense, and that's not incense, so I just want to point that out for the listeners.
It could be
I
incense.
Did not mean that to be, that Tetris is not incense.
It could be.
That'd be cool if it was.
I think that's something we're going to explore when we review Tetris in the horror play, so...
We'll add another category that says it's just yes or no. Is it incense?
It was a really heated debate.
Yeah. For some reason, it was 50-50. Half of us said yes, half of us said no.
Inconclusive.
It's going to have to stay a mystery.
All right, let's go to story.
Let's do it.
Story is plot, characters, and enemies. I gave it a 2.5. John gave it a 4. Amber gave it a 4. Adam gave it a 2.5.
Spoiler.
We are split 50-50.
Yep. Spoiler alert. The story was convoluted.
Yeah, it was.
It was.
Definitely convoluted. I mean, even though you guys gave it a 4, that's 1.5 higher than us.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do you guys want to...
I like the general story of it. Like, most of it you couldn't get, but, like, the whole idea of it I liked. The enemies were... Some of them were pretty cool looking, but they were... Shit, they were shit.
They're
it
generic.
Looked like shit.
They were all the. I
they
mean,
died
they
were, easily.
They all looked the same.
They were all the same,
right? Yeah.
Like, with the exception is like
the weapons.
Some of them, yeah, or some of them crawled like the Grudge Girl.
Yeah,
yeah.
The final boss was a little different, and the flying dudes were a little different. Everyone else was just like a dude with jeans and a V-neck, and then like some other random thing on his head, like a bonnet or
I think
a cowboy
that's like
hat.
Every college campus ever.
Yeah, just like. Yep. I was so confused
like
on FSU? What was going on.
Exactly.
Like and the characters were like Asian characters, but they had like British accents.
Oh, that was the best.
What?
That's what gave me... This would have a zero in story if it didn't have the British accents.
That was so weird.
It was so weird.
It was so weird. I didn't even know...
Hello.
I was like, what just came out of his
can
mouth?
Can we talk about the sexy James Bond professor guy?
Oh, the guy with the mullet?
Yes.
I think I know what you're talking about.
He was like the second guy you played as, and he had a gun, and he had like one of the other, like some girl with him that looked like Laura Prepon from Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
Yes, from that 70s show, but specifically her character in Orange is the New Black.
Well, you know what was funny is that they had like... Every time there was a guy with a girl, the guy would tell the girl to stay put. It was like, just stay here. I'm going to go do some
stuff.
That's
only one of the two actions you had when you were with a girl. Stay here or come on.
Yeah, stay here or follow me. Like that's what the girl did every time.
There was one where you had to tell the girl to hide, and then she found a key to open something.
Or get in there. There's one that like you had to make her go in
a
door.
And then there's the worst one is when you had to do those escort missions and they had to follow you, and there's that one level with the fucking blind girl.
She had to be right behind you, and then
you had to like you had to call to her, and then when you call like that would attract monsters. I'm just like, oh, this is the worst escort mission I've ever played,
because escort missions like weren't annoying enough already
that I have to escort someone who's blind. it's just
another piece of the puzzle, guys.
That's true.
I gave it a 4. The plot was terrible. If you have to use a spreadsheet to help explain the story.
you're probably not
taking the right approach. The enemies are just kind of generic cookie cutter. They're all kind of the same. The characters, I think that's the reason why I gave it a 4. Like, there was like a lot of characters. I'm not saying that's necessarily great, but like it was nice like that they're all kind of unique. They all had like their own backstory. So I think, you know, I appreciate the effort that was put into that. Right. But yeah, I mean, a 4 out of 10. Like, maybe I could have gone lower. But I
like how maybe I could have gone lower.
Yeah,
This is the perfect system we work on.
I know.
We question ourselves in the middle of it.
Yeah. I could have aimed low, but I'll stick with a 4.
I wanted to be nice.
I give it a 2.5 for the kind of the same reasons. Like, there's some aspects that were like, okay, story's kind of convoluted. The characters, there are different characters, and they all do... have their own personality, kind of.
I guess
they're all British, but they're all like different kind of British.
Maybe they all went to like a London boarding school.
It's
got to
be the American translation. Like, they're just like, we're going to release this in America. here's some British people.
there's literally like that one part where the girl like comes up. I think it was the doctor or the teacher. I don't remember, but she's like crying and he's like, let's go to the hospital. Like he just says that. Nothing doesn't address that she's crying or anything like that. He's just like, let's go to the hospital.
Well, every time I cry, well, yeah, I go to the hospital.
Yeah, I mean.
Something's wrong with
that's
me.
What you do.
Let's go to the hospital.
These bitches got hysteria. You take them to the hospital.
Yeah. Or you make them stay there while you go do some stuff. Yeah.
Go sit on that rock.
Yeah.
The man's going to go do things.
I'm going to go to the hospital. You stay here, blind girl. Anyways. All right.
I have to just stress again how much I loved how Japanese these characters were. Like their names. Like they didn't bother to change them.
Hero.
I can't remember anybody's names. But they were so British.
Yeah.
They were so British.
I love the first time you hear it. It's just like, it kind of took me back.
I was so confused. I never adjusted.
At first I thought maybe this is taking place in Britain. It's just like, it's like in the United Kingdom, but it's like in a small little village of mostly Asian people. And, like, but they're all in the UK and they just kind of all live there.
It's like The Village.
Yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan's The Village.
Yeah.
They just have a secret Japanese society in the middle of a...
nature preserve in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Oh, you just spoiled it for me.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Let's go to gameplay. Gameplay is controls and level design. Now, this one's going to be up for hot debate because I gave it a 4, John gave it a 4, Amber gave it a 4, and Adam,
you
gave
it
a 4.
Oh, wow.
We nailed it. Let's move on.
This doesn't happen too often, but yeah, I really don't have anything. I mean, the gameplay's... The controls are never like that awesome for horror games.
They're tanky.
And these are really tanky. I mean, it's kind of like Resident Evil. It's not as bad to me as Resident Evil, but it's just not that great. The level design to me is like okay, but because the objectives are so kind of obscure sometimes, like I don't know what I'm doing.
Just go left.
It just doesn't Yeah. Some of them you just go left and you beat the level. It's kind of really weird how they like set up the level sometimes. But I do like some of the level designs. I do love the puzzle aspect to it. I just think they could have done it a little
bit
better.
The controls were, Adam mentioned, you have to open a menu to just pick your nose to do something, to do everything.
To simple things like open a door, climb a ledge, pull someone up on a ledge.
Oh, that was the most.
Where any other game, you would just press X or square or whatever. This, you had to push a button, open a menu,
and
select what you wanted from the menu.
And there was always shout.
which was hard to do though when you're like getting chased by monsters and you're escorting a blind girl and then you gotta pick her up off of the side of like
go
pick her up a
menu.
Rock.
Yeah.
So you have to go into the menu and select pick up over rock and while she's getting beat the shit out of her
or,
like while there's like monsters behind
her. Or like if you're shooting someone you have to open a sub menu to reload and hopefully you don't select shout because like Amber mentioned it was a dynamic sub menu.
Well, you never accidentally shout it when you're trying to reload like ah.
Well, I love like when I was trying to pick up the blind girl over the rock as like monsters are coming and they're like swiping at her. I'm just trying to I'm panicking and I'm like opening the menu and then
shouting
I end up just
at them?
No, I climbed down. I climbed down and then I died. So I'm like,
go down there.
Yeah. And to answer your question, John, is I do often shout when I reload, but I don't do it in lieu of reloading.
That's true. You do it while.
I do it while. Yes.
Maybe if she shouted out her enough times, she would just climbed up herself.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I could just be biased because all I do these days is just play horror games, but I feel like it's like the only game genre that like it. You always run into like these situations where the game is just like overdeveloped. Like you always like had to go through like a million menus to do everything.
It's weird. I think
because like what? Imagine if, like a fighting game. You have to open up a menu. Like I'm gonna throw a fireball here.
But I think that's their way of trying to make it a little scarier too.
I think they try to do it to
in
up
some
the tension.
Games, yeah.
It's weird though because like. I don't think I've ever. I play a lot of first-person shooters too, and I've never had an issue.
You never had to open up a menu to
reload
every time,
to shoot enemy.
Well, because you're constantly shooting, so that would really.
But I mean, like it's just like the tank controls.
Kind of
it's like the way that they kind of like.
Well, it's not okay. What about like just third-person action games?
Yeah, like Gears of War or like Uncharted. Anything third-person.
You don't have to bring up sub-menus or sub-menus.
I mean, I think Amber's right. I think it's a way to make it tense, just like how they kind of limit your supply.
Right,
like
Resident Evil.
Way.
But I think I think that breaks the flow of the game more than anything.
I think sometimes it can.
If they don't manage it right, then yeah.
Because I actually like the controls of like the later Resident Evils because I think they fixed
Resident
them
Evil
up.
4?
Yeah. But I like the earlier games because they're scarier. But even like Resident Evil 5, a lot of people complained that, you know, when you're playing that game, you couldn't run and shoot. Like you could only you had to run away, turn around, and then shoot.
I think to this day, Dead Space had like the most elegant solution where everything just happened in real time. Whenever Isaac brought up the menu, it was just like a hologram off of his suit. Like it all made sense, but it never really broke the flow of the game.
Yeah.
Even that though, you couldn't run and shoot. I mean, well, I think you could walk and shoot.
Yeah, you didn't run, but
Dead Space is still probably like the best as far as like horror games go.
Controls.
And how to deal with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think just best.
Yeah.
Just best.
Probably, yeah.
Did you guys play that one yet?
Yeah, we played Dead Space 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We played the first one.
It was a good game.
Did you do all the Resident Evils yet?
No.
We did the first two?
First two.
Yeah, just the first two.
Yeah. Seven just came out, so we probably will review
We'll probably just skip the seven.
You didn't miss the good ones? Because you missed the first two.
Yeah, I know. I mean...
And it's kind of all downhill after that.
Well, I played... What? Four? What's the GameCube one? The one that came out?
No, that's four.
Four. Yeah, I played four first, so that's my favorite.
Yeah. Four. I mean,
and then I went back and played one and two.
Yeah. I mean, eventually we'll get to all of them. All right, well, let's go to the last category, which is scariness. How scary was this game? I gave it a 2 out of 10. John, a 3.5. Amber, a 3. Adam, a 3.
I was scared the most.
And I was scared the least.
0.5?
Mm-hmm. And I was scared the least by 1.
Yeah, that spreadsheet just really affected me more than I thought it would. You know?
That's the 0.5.
I had nightmares.
See, and I marked it down 1. I was going to give it a 3, but I gave it 1 less because the British voices soothed me. So that's I wasn't as scared.
See, I gave it a 3 because as much as I enjoyed the British voices, they really confused me.
They were out of
nowhere.
And
they scared me inside.
That's why you're always on edge. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm.
Especially with those plastic mannequin faces.
I know. Oof. Those facial expressions were awesome.
I gave it a 3 because some of the controls made me so angry that it scared me.
Yeah. I think it's not... It's a horror puzzle game. It's more puzzle-ish than a lot of other horror games we play.
Yeah.
There are things where you have to get a key and open a door and do like that kind of puzzle solving. But there's also a lot more because each level is kind of designed to just be its own thing as you're kind of moving through. It's more of a puzzle game. It's not really... It's tense in parts, but it's not overly scary.
Yeah, and it's creepy. It has a creepy atmosphere, but it's not set up to be a horror game, I really don't think.
But I look forward to, like, if we do 3, I kind of want to see where they went with it in PS3. Because I haven't seen any videos of it or anything like that.
Spoiler alert, Sightjack is now a picture-in-picture deal.
That would be cool.
That would be a lot better.
No, what if they had it for the Wii U?
Oh,
you just look at your little pad.
Oh, yeah. R.I.P. Wii U.
Out. No more.
Certainly. All
right. Well, I guess if you take all the scores, average amount.
Whoa.
What?
You guess?
We should be sure about this.
No, I guess.
Otherwise, what are we doing here?
I'm just guessing at this. Because this is the first time I think that I had a total of a 4. There's no 4-point anything.
Really?
Although, no, maybe there were some other ones that like kind of averaged out that way, but it was like a 4.01, and since we're not rounding to the 100th place yet, which I think we will eventually do because we're playing so many games and I don't want to have so many games tie with 2.1. Yeah. But right now it's just standing at a 4. But scariness, it gets a 2.9. That I'm not sure.
So
John's
scary.
Looking up the list, but I will say that looks like it's on the low end.
It's like a
right
2.9.
After PT, right?
Yep.
It actually tied with Walking Dead at 2.9.
Oh yeah.
It actually scored underneath Year Walk at 3.1, which is like another similar puzzle type of game. So
yeah,
it's probably like in the appropriate place on the list, or it's like. It's just not really all that scary, but it has, like, kind of other interesting qualities about it.
It's got horror elements.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Walking Dead, that was just, like, interactive, like, story.
Point and click kind of thing, yeah.
And Year Walk was, that was, like, the,
That was also the same kind of thing, like, a point and click.
Yeah.
Puzzle solving.
Yep.
Sure.
Horror game.
Yeah. Like, none of those games were really all that scary, but they were just still kind of.
Yeah.
Still fun to play.
Yeah.
It's just this one, I felt like that was just meant to actually really be scary.
Really scary, yeah.
It totally missed the mark.
Yeah, hopefully they capitalize on their ideas for the sequels.
Sure. Final thoughts on Siren?
Play it, just don't play it all the way through.
Yeah.
Because you'll get tired of it kind of fast, I think.
Yeah, I'd say that. It has some...
Just make someone else play it and watch.
Yeah, just go on YouTube and watch a playthrough.
Yeah.
I say instead of playing it, just turn left.
Yeah. Yeah, just pull up the map. Yeah. Pull up the map and just see what street you have to get to, because sometimes it's right around the corner. So
yeah, don't even play it.
Don't even play the level.
I think that's the first game on here that I didn't really recommend. I'm like, you don't need to play this.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I don't really love just puzzle games like this in the first place. Also, I'm not a huge... I don't really have the patience for stealth.
Yeah.
So that also hurt it.
Yep.
But I think it had some interesting concepts. Like a lot of first games, it showed promise. It just didn't quite execute them in ways I probably would have liked them to have been executed.
Right. I do want to say there have been like other games we reviewed where like I didn't really want to recommend, but they were also free. So I'm like, well, it's free, so there's no point in not trying.
Like Dear Esther.
Yeah.
that wasn't free. But
okay. Stanley Parable.
I played that game. That wasn't free either, but no.
But this game is definitely not free.
Just sorry. Trying to get those.
I don't know.
I know what you're doing.
if you're finding like in a garage sale somewhere.
It was $10 on the PlayStation Store. I probably wouldn't pay more than $5, even though I did pay $10. But for this game, yeah, I wouldn't pay probably more than $5. It's an okay game. But yeah, it's more of a puzzle game. If you're willing to sit through I think 18 hours is like the whole game. I think it's on the longer end.
Yeah.
Especially.
And you have to replay levels. If you didn't have to do that, once I had to replay a level five times.
The game was actually 4 hours.
At least you knew how to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure.
I don't know. It had some interesting ideas, but overall, not the best game.
Cool. All right. So before we sign off, as always, you can drop us a line at sharkdropper.com. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, you can reach us there. And Robert, what else can they find at sharkdropper.com?
All kinds of podcasts. We got fictional and non-fictional stuff. Just go to sharkdropper.com. All of our podcasts are on the front page. Don't forget to rate and review them. 5 stars definitely helps us out.
Sure.
We also have Patreon. You can donate there. Loot Crate. If you go to lootcrate.com/shark, promo code sharkdropper. One word. You can get 10% off your first loot crate. I think that's it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh. How about this with loot crate?
What's that?
There's a special Breath of the Wild for all you, hopefully, Zelda
gamers, fans
out there.
Gamers.
But I think it's in the loot gaming one.
Is it?
Maybe you get money off that.
I actually just got the last loot crate, but I don't remember what's in it. I opened it, too. I should have looked more before.
You just opened it, but you didn't really open it.
I didn't really like look through it yet.
You just cut the tape. I'm like, it. I don't need to go.
I was like, nope, there's stuff in here.
Click
that's all I cared about.
Click the hotkey to eBay and then got distracted before you looked up the items.
All right. For my co-hosts Adam, Amber, and Robert, I've been your host, John Lawson. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark! Go! Go! Go!
This podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.